bless you and we love you and we honor you, and you are the light of the world. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would come, that your Holy Spirit would breathe on us. Your eyes, Lord, you would touch our eyes, that we would see you rightly. Lord, where maybe the window of our soul gets dusty, it's muddy, and we need the windshield wipers of your Spirit to clear, Lord, clear our eyes. Jesus, you exhorted the church at Laodicea, I counsel you to buy from me eye salve. And Lord, we come to you this morning and we ask you for eye salve, Lord, so that we may see. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I told them before we went live that Advent is over, Christmas is over, but the Advent wreath is still up. So while Rich plays the prelude, I'm gonna light the candles because Jesus is the light of the world, and we're going to use that as a symbol this morning for that. Let's prepare our hearts to worship. Worship His Majesty. Please stand. Gordy Showalter is going to read Isaiah 9 for us, 1 through 3.
But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil.
Amen. We're going to sing Fair is Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
just reacquainting myself with the language and the Old Testament beauty of Matthew 2, 1 through 11, and what is real worship. And I don't need to tell you why I'm doing it, but I'm just going to do it. And I just encourage you all to do it. There's such powerful, our body posture is important. It's not everything. Our heart posture is the most important. But the Psalms, the praise, is more than just what comes out of our mouth. It's what you do with your body. It's what you do with your hands, the raising of your hands, the extending of your hands, the bowing, and the kneeling. And the Magi got low. And I encourage you, if you want to come to the altar and pray, but I'm going to get low this morning because I feel like I'd be a hypocrite doing all the studying that I've done this week if I didn't. So you're welcome to come pray with me or at the altar. But Lord, we come and we kneel and we bow before you, Jesus, because you are the Holy One and you are the worthy one. Fairest Lord Jesus, we don't talk that way anymore, but that was 100 years ago or so, more than that even. Fair meant beautiful. Beautiful are you, Jesus. Worthy are you, Jesus. There is no one like you. Bow before you this morning because of who you are. You are beautiful and you are good. Reading this week, Psalm, I think it's 90-95, holiness befits your house for endless days. And Lord, we love you. And we come. And Lord, we pray for those who are grieving this morning, specifically the Rankin family. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them. Lord, all that are grieving, that have lost loved ones, we continue to pray for Janet and her family and the loss of her brother. Lord, your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So, Lord, the family, the woman that committed suicide, Lord, here in DuQuoin, and the murder this weekend in Carterville, Heron, Lord, we just ask for your mercy. Your comfort to be upon those families in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. I thank you for the generosity of this congregation. Lord, we thank you for Bevan and the work that he's doing in Slovakia and in Ukraine. Father, we bless Bevan in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that you would provide for him, provide for his family. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry that he has to the orphans in Slovakia. And Lord, we pray that you would provide for those needs, and we bless those orphans in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the goods that he's taken into Ukraine. We pray you'd protect him. We pray, Father, for you would deliver him from the attacks and the people that are suing him and just looking for something just to disrupt his ministry. Lord, we pray the prayer Paul prayed. He said, pray that God would deliver me from evil men who would seek to destroy my ministry. And Lord, we pray that for Bevan, that you would deliver him from evil men and women who would seek to destroy his ministry. And this frivolous lawsuit that's been brought against him, that it would just fall apart in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for Jonathan and Megan and Esme and that baby boy that was born. And Lord, we bless them in Jesus' name. We pray that you would provide for them. And that baby that was born without a limb, Lord, we pray that you would give them grace and the connections that they need. We thank you, Lord, that when they were here, we told them about places that could help them. And Lord, we just ask for your grace to be upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to you with all of our concerns. And Lord, we lay them down before you. Thank you for your word that says, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We invite you in, Lord. We need you. Father, we pray for Stan. We pray for the cabinet as they're making important decisions this week that will influence all of us. We pray that the cabinet would have wisdom. And Lord, we thank you for Stan and his leadership, and we bless him in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come and we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the generosity of this congregation. Lord, we offer our offerings up to you as worship. Lord, we pray you would receive it and you would give wisdom in the use of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand and let's sing the doxology. Testament lesson is Romans 12, 1 through 2. Chuck Novak is going to read that for us.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen. I had mercy on y'all this morning. People either love this song or hate this song. I surrender all. And we're going to sing verses 1 and 4 right after each other. And then we're going to sing the chorus and that's it. We're not going to sing 1,000 verses of it. But it fits so beautifully what I feel like the Lord wants to say to us this morning. So I surrender all. Scripture this morning is a very familiar scripture. I gave a lot of the Old Testament background on it last week. It's so beautiful, and it really, if this is the only, this was the only scripture we had for the birth of Jesus, it really is all that you need to know. And it is such a beautiful illustration of what worship is. Urbana is not only a town where the U of I is, Champaign-Urbana, but for years it was a place of a missions conference, student-led, students, InterVarsity, sponsored by InterVarsity. And when I was 20 years old, I attended Urbana 90. And it was my first experience with thousands of students that were my age, you know, 18 to 22, 18 to 25, and from all over the world. And there were thousands that were there. And I don't encourage this, but we do it. But we've got to really watch our attitude. But I was struck at Urbana 90 as a 20-year-old there were students there from Africa. And as they worshiped Jesus, I just remember watching them thinking, what is it that they know that I don't know? There was such joy. They were completely lost. And there was almost like this glory of the Lord that was on them. And I remember standing there as a 20-year-old kid watching them worship and asking, what is it that they know that I don't know? want you to have that in the back of your mind. What is it that the Magi knew that we don't know? It is outside of the book of Revelation. It is the most beautiful illustration of what worship is that is in all of the Bible. What is worship? What is real worship? Look with me at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. What is worship? Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Father, this is your word. Holy Spirit, you're the one who authored this word. And it is beautiful. And Lord, I give you my mouth, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. Pray you would anoint me to exhort your people today. You would help me, Lord, all of the things that I've studied, that what needs to be said today and articulated, that you would give me the words to say. And Lord, more than words, more than just sitting here in the pew, I pray, Father, that you would transport us to a place that we can see, that we can smell, Christmas Eve service that I did on the 21st, I read a fictional story on the secret of the gifts. But here we have this story, and it says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. There doesn't say that there were three of them. There's a lot of traditions on why there were three. One of the ones that makes the most sense to me is there were three known continents at that time, Europe, Africa, and Asia. And so it's just kind of the Magi, the three, in the fulfillment of Isaiah 60. We've been talking about that. We'll review that in a minute. But when these Magi came, it was a fulfillment of Scripture of the Gentiles coming. And so it was three. So they say maybe that's why the three, traditionally, we sing "We Three Kings." But it doesn't say that. They brought three gifts, and so that maybe is where we get the three. But it doesn't say that. There may have been more. That they were wise men or magi. And who they were, we don't really know. Magi, that word where we get magic or magicians, that word appears a lot in Daniel. When Daniel has the dream and the Babylonian sorcerers, and they call them the sorcerers, the magicians, the Chaldeans come. And so there are some who think that the magi were from Babylon, that they were from the east. And that makes a lot of sense. But there was something about the Magi and they were studying the stars. Were they ancient astronomers? Probably. And one of the things that's so beautiful about this passage of Scripture is they were able to discern from nature, from the stars, that one had been born king of the Jews. And that's absolutely beautiful. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at Psalm 19. And I want to look at all of it, because God is the creator, and his glory is revealed in nature. And Psalm 19, let's look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And that's what they saw. They were able to discern from the stars that, wow, was that star, maybe it was Halley's Comet. It may well have been. It may have been the lining up of Jupiter and Saturn. That might have been what it is. We're not exactly sure, but something, the glory, the creation, told them, which is God himself, the creator, that one had been born king of the Jews. But let's look at the rest of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Talking about nature. Then in verse 7, there's an abrupt shift. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Psalm 19. You have creation that's declaring the glory of God, and you have the word of God, both. And in the story of the Magi, they discern that one has been born king of the Jews. They saw his star rise in the east. They knew that someone had been born king of the Jews. And so they go to Jerusalem. Where are you going to find the king of the Jews? You go to the capital of the city, Jerusalem. So they go to Jerusalem. And what did they have to do to find out exactly where the king was born? They had to go to the scriptures. They had to go to the scriptures. And you have to have both. You can't just have creation. And I feel like we've kind of, if we've swayed one way, we're word people, which is good. But we really need to spend time in nature. And I hope that this year that you just take more time to be outside. One of the things that my doctor has encouraged me to do to kind of get my body reset and for healing in the inward part of my body is to be outside. Get up, and I'm not a morning person, but I'm becoming one. trying to go to bed earlier and get up. He wants me to get up and be in the sun and get outside and exercise first thing in the morning. Really? 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 But I need to be, he's like, that being outside and being in the sun is going to reset your circadian rhythms. And as I have done that, you know what happens? As we do that and we're outside, there's healing that comes, because we weren't made to be inside staring at a screen all day long on our phones and on the TV. And so be outside more. Let the sun and there's healing in that. And so let the stars and the, you know, we don't want to get weird about all of that, but there is something, there's the glory of God revealed in nature. Go to the fairgrounds and watch the geese and be outside. But that's not enough. That's not enough. We need word and we need nature. We need both of those things. Both of those are healing things. Both of those. And the Magi illustrate that. And I kind of going too fast here, but on your outline, a worshiper of Jesus Christ, a worshiper of Jesus Christ, they seek him. That's what the Magi did. They sought him. They saw his star and they seek him. and as worshipers of Jesus, Jesus said in the midst of, don't be worried, don't be anxious about anything in Matthew chapter 5. And what's he say? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to be hungry for him. And if we're not, we just need to say, Lord, I want to be hungry for you. But that's what a worship looks like. A worshiper is a seeker. It's a seeker who longs for him. And the second thing, a worshiper of Jesus Christ encounters Jesus in the Word. We need the Scriptures. We need nature. There's healing in that. God's glory is revealed in that. But we encounter him in his Word, Psalm 19. We have to have both. It's not one or the other. It's not Word and then just sit in a cave all day. It's not just sit in a cave all day. So we have to have both, nature and the Word. So the Magi come. And what is interesting, it's very sad, is what is Herod's reaction when these Magi come? It says he's troubled. He is troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Later on, when Jesus is walking on the water, and it says the disciples are terrified when they see Jesus walking on the water, y'all, it's that same word that it said that for when it says all Jerusalem, Herod was troubled. The word can be troubled, it can be scared, and it can be terrified. Why would Herod be terrified, be scared, be troubled when these Magi come? There are four Herods in the Bible. This is the first one that's mentioned. And I want to get this straight. I don't want to get this wrong. This is Herod the Great. And he's the grandfather of Herod Agrippa I, who beheaded James, brother of John, in Acts. Herod the Great was a ruler under the Roman Empire, and he was a builder, and he was a very cruel man. You think Illinois is corrupt? We've got corrupt politicians in Illinois. Herod the Great was worse than that. He was way worse than that. And so he saw, the Magi come. Where's the king? Where's the king who's been born? Herod saw this king as a threat. And you'd kind of expect that, but why it says Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled. That's sad. That's really, really sad. You would think they would be expected. You would think they would be anticipating this one, but they were scared. And so they go to the Scriptures. Wasn't enough just to see the star. And they search the Scriptures, and in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says that that king is going to be born in Bethlehem. Verse 7, Herod summoned the wise men and ascertained from them what time. He sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Yeah, right. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them. So had the star disappeared for a while? We're not sure. But they see that star again. They saw the star. They go to Jerusalem. They find out exactly where he was. And they see the star again. And it says they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Worshippers of Jesus Christ, worshippers have joy. There's joy. The psalmist says that there's fullness of joy in God's presence. And if we lack joy, y'all, we have a problem. We need to spend some time with the Lord. We need to ask our brothers and sisters to come and pray for us. Because our inheritance as God's children is one of joy. We shouldn't be sour and grumpy and agitated all the time, or blue and depressed. We are. There's deliverance for you. There's deliverance. Jesus came to give us life, and they have joy, and they come. And it says they come to the house. They're no longer. This may have been, Jesus may have been 6 months old, a year old, maybe 2 years old. And so they're no longer in the stable, but they're in a house. And they come, and they find him. And what do? that really ticked Jesus off were the ones that were stubborn and set in their ways and weren't willing to yield and get low. But everyone that humbles themselves, Jesus, I can't do this. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I can't save myself. He will come in and he will do that. And these magi, these wealthy, great men, didn't consider themselves too arrogant or too proud or too proper. Oh, I don't do that. I'm not going to get dirty in my robe. No, they came and they got low and they bowed down before him. They humbled themselves. They fell down and they worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense. You to turn Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Frankincense. God is telling Moses about the anointing oil and what that is going to look like. And Exodus chapter 30, starting in verse 34. The Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and ancha and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each there shall be an equal part, and make an incense blended as by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. You shall beat some of it very small and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. It shall be most holy for you. And the incense that you shall make according to its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be for you holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people. Frankincense was in the holy anointing oil. It was forbidden to be, you couldn't put it on your body. It was so holy. It was holy unto the Lord. And myrrh, Exodus chapter 30, go back to verse 25. I'm going to start, Exodus 30, 25. And you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all its utensils, and the lampstand and its utensils, the altar of incense, and the altar burning and all its utensils. Back in verse 23, it says, the finest of spices, liquid myrrh. And so myrrh is what they anointed the Ark of the Covenant with. The most holy object, the very presence of God. It was a symbol of the presence of God, and it was anointed with myrrh. And frankincense was the holy anointing oil. They couldn't put it on anything else. And myrrh also, in the Song of Solomon, that was a lover's perfume. You read throughout Song of Solomon chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5, myrrh is repeatedly, it's associated with love and lovers. And the only other time that myrrh is mentioned in the New Testament, you know what it was? It was Nicodemus that asked for the body of Jesus. And it says he brought spices, myrrh, to anoint the body of Jesus with. These things that the Magi brought to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 60. Let's revisit that really quickly. Isaiah chapter 60, which is the fulfillment of what these Magi did. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Jumping down to verse 6, a multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. Oh, the irony that these pagan kings saw something in the stars, and they discerned that one had been born. And they go to Jerusalem, where the king would have been, and they ask where he was. And it wasn't enough to have nature. They needed more. They needed the scriptures. The scriptures told them about Jesus and where he was to be born. And these ancient kings, these pagan Gentile kings, they come and they offer him gold and frankincense and myrrh, the ancient anointing oil. The oil is representing love. The oil is representing that they would anoint the dead with. Oh, worship. What is worship? Worship is coming. And that word for treasures, they open their treasures. Jesus uses that word for treasures when he says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. What is your treasure? What is your treasure? Is it wanting people to like you? Is it wanting prestige and honor? Wanting everybody to think you've got it all together? Is it wealth? Is it what is your treasure? What is it? Real worship is surrendering our treasures. It's surrendering prestige. It's surrendering control. It's surrendering our sorrows. It's being honest with where we really are. If we don't have joy, if our life is a hot mess, just admit that. Lord, I don't have it all together. Lord, I've got a problem. And just lay it out there. He knows it all anyway. Real worship is coming and giving Jesus our very lives. The rich young ruler, it said, he comes seeking Jesus. What must I do to have eternal life? Must I do this, 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 and this? Jesus knew what his real issue was. And he says, you need to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, because his treasure was his wealth. And it says he went away sad because of his treasures. His treasure, it's that same word. They came. And these ancient magi were the very first people that worshiped Jesus, other than the shepherds. Shepherds knew. The angels announced it to the shepherds. But they come. Real worship is seeking Jesus. Real worship is encountering Jesus in his word. Real worship is having joy in his presence. Real worship is surrender. It's bowing low, and it's surrendering all to Jesus. It's giving him our very lives. Chuck Reddit, what's our reasonable act of worship? Offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. Those Africans, when I was 20 years old, man, what do they know that I don't know? 30 years later, I know a little bit. I don't know their story. I was really shy. I didn't have the courage to go over and talk to them. But Jesus said, if you've been forgiven much, you love much. Those women that came and anointed Jesus with the oil, the women that came and anointed Jesus with their tears, they didn't care what people thought about them. They weren't self-conscious, but they knew that Jesus loved them. They knew that Jesus forgave them, and they didn't care. They didn't care what they looked like. They only wanted to please and honor Jesus. And these magi come, and they give him everything. And what's interesting is you contrast Herod and the Magi. There are two commands that Herod gave the Magi. He said, you search diligently for him and you come back and you tell me. Commanded them that. But they had a dream, and they were warned not to go back. And they didn't. They went back another way. But Herod came and he killed all those babies. And there would not be one of us in the room that would kill the baby Jesus. We would not do that. I can definitively say that. None of us would. But the attitude that was in Herod, be a people that would encounter him in his word, that we would be hungry for him, that we would spend time with him, that we would bow low before him, that we would have joy in his presence, and we would give him our treasures and surrender all to him. Those things that he knows anyway, all of those things, and that we may worship him and not be like Herod, digs his heels in and is angry and is threatened. No, let's be humble and open our hearts to Jesus. Father, we love you. And we want to give you our all. And we thank you for the Old Testament fulfillment of these magi and what they did. And what a beautiful illustration of worship it is. And Lord, we want our lives to be a holy fragrance unto you. What are those treasures, Lord, that we're holding on to in our heart? What are the things we're trying to control? What are the things that are festering in our heart? Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Lord, we just come to before you today, open hands, fresh and anew, dedicating ourselves to you, and say, Jesus, we want you. We need you. You oppose the proud, and you give grace to the humble. And so, Lord, we come and we bow low today, and we say, Jesus, here we are. Take us afresh and anew. Fill us with your Spirit. Forgive us of our sins. I'm going to take a time of silence. If there's anything you need to confess before the Lord, anything that you've been hiding secretly, just confess those things quietly before the Lord now. He wants to set you free. He wants to come and deliver you. He wants to come and give you life. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. You sent a star to guide wise men to where Christ was born, and in your signs and witnesses in every age and through all the world, you've led your people from far places to his light. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Say it with me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Lord, we thank you that for these magi, Lord, that they were included in the promise, and Lord, it's so beautiful, the illustration of what they did. And Lord, we come. know, we offer treasures. And Lord, there's nothing that we would value in our own heart. What we consider treasures, Paul called it filthy rags. It's nothing compared to the beauty of who you are. And so, Lord, we come and we thank you for your body broken. That you love us. That you died to give us life. And you died to give us joy. That you bore our sins, our sorrows, our griefs. And, Lord, there is fullness of joy in your presence. And, Lord, we take your body as a reminder. And we say, Jesus, we need you. And we thank you for your body broken. And as we take it, Lord, we just say, may your more of your life be manifest in us in 2023 than ever before. Your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your gentleness, your self-control. We need you, Jesus. And we take your body and we remember your body broken. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for your blood that forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just say thank you, and we take it in, and we receive, by faith, your healing and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. May our lives, Lord, reflect that of an Magi. May we be men and women who seek you. May we be men and women who encounter you in your word. May we be men and women, Lord, that bow low before you, that have joy, that surrender all to you, Jesus. That we would give you our treasures. And in return, Lord, we would have the fullness of life that you came to give us. May your light shine in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing, O Come, All You Faithful. Father, fill us with your spirit. May we be lights to those around us. Jesus, you said to us, you are the light of the world. And Lord, I pray that we would be light, that we would shine, that we would have courage, that we would have boldness.